Episode 157, August 11th, 2014.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Weird way to start the show tonight. We do the show on Monday nights, just minutes after we heard the news of Robin Williams. I quote his wife, Susan Schneider, "This morning I lost my husband and my best friend, while the world lost one of its most beloved artists and beautiful human beings."
How crazy was that? We ended the show basically talking about how odd it was that you hadn't seen any of the only, what have you seen, four of his movies? And Robbie and I were debating on what his best films were. We were talking about his Oscars. Crazy.
Well, if I have the power to upset someone so much that they kill themselves, Justin Bieber, I've heard none of your songs.
There are, of course, some truly tasteless names in chat. However, it does say, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," which is a line from Dead Poets Society. Actually, my girlfriend Katie has, you know, she has Carpe Diem tattooed on her foot, right, from Dead Poets Society. And
well, you know, I feel like in honor of Robin Williams, I should see, I'll tell you what, I will see one of these movies that I haven't seen that you guys debated, or that you will just tell me which movie I should see that I have. Basically,
see them both and tell us which one you think's better.
The World
of
According
to
Garp.
There's three that you should see. His three best movies, I believe, are World According to Garp, Dead Poets Society, and I think Good Will Hunting's the best movie he's ever been in. It's also the performance he won his Oscar for. And in addition to that, when you and I, when we acted against one another, when we were trying to find out who the superior actor was, that's the scene we did from Good Will Hunting where I was Robin Williams, I believe.
Well,
you cried, remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
You were the Matt Damon character.
I will see those movies. I will get on that. You know, I guess there, you know, I don't want to feel like an idiot because we're hearing this is still new, really new news to us, but they're saying it's a suicide. Is that confirmed?
Yeah, they're saying that he hung himself.
God, he hung himself. Jeez.
Suicide is sad, but that just seems like such an angry way to end your life.
That's Tim's hero as Robin Williams.
Yeah.
That's a very angry way. That's always sad to me because then, you know, I have to imagine, I just quoted his wife, you know, what do the friends and the family think? They got to think, what could I have done? Should I have known? Should I have said something? And they're left with that to deal with.
Can I make a confession?
You may.
This is horrible. It says so much about me, and I need to kind of self-reflect, because when I heard that he had died, my first thought was, this is going to be good for the show. That's so bad. That's the very first thing.
Why would it be good for the show?
Because we'd have this topic that was the freshest of fresh, right? I mean, when are we ever going to have an opportunity to talk about such a huge story as it broke? And that's the first thing that I thought about. I know I'm a horrible person.
Well, not really. I mean, I get what you're saying. If look, not that this is on a much lesser scale, but if you're the Washington Redskins, if you cover sports radio in D.C., if they're having horrible, they're losing, that's good for your radio. It's good for you have something to talk about. So anything, there's something tragic, not that that's tragic, but I get where like you're rooting for something bad to happen because it gives you a topic. But I
now,
don't know.
Tim is screaming at me in chat. He's screaming at me because, you know, there's a lot of rumors and talk about when he did comedy that he was a joke thief. I mean, that was a very, very well documented, I don't know, I don't want to say rumor because I actually know a story that was told by Richard Belzer about when he legitimately just took one of his jokes and walked out on stage and told it. But either way, that doesn't mean I wanted him to die. Right. And in addition to that, it doesn't mean that I didn't love his films, which I did. Yeah. You know, he went to Juilliard. I had no idea. But before he left there to do stand-up comedy, he went to, I mean, I only hear what Juilliard is. I don't know what it is, but isn't it the most elite of elite acting schools?
It's just a school for the arts in general. Maybe it is just acting, but that's big time.
Yeah, that's where he went, and he's a phenomenal actor. And obviously, I loved his. I mean, especially some of his films, I loved. I mean, yeah, he made Flubber. I'm not saying they were all RV. They weren't all great.
Yeah, Juilliard does dance, drama, and music, so it's, you know, like Fame. You know, no, he was a tremendous talent, a great career, and it's a sad loss. You know, and the thing that I hate is, because of social media these days, is that now when a celebrity dies, you just get every kind of horrible joke on Twitter and Facebook. And what usually happens is it's just the same joke over and over again. Because if you don't say a joke literally 10 minutes in, it's already hacked. Does that, you know what I mean? Where everyone's same joke. And it's just don't, because it's just from as a comic, I'm like, come on.
My thing is always, it's not shocking because it's always done.
Yeah.
So really, it's the opposite of clever.
And it's not cutting edge. It's not, yeah, it's lame is what
it
is.
So lame. So lame.
The only actual funny, if you want to call this guy a celebrity, death tweet I ever read, joke, was when Billy Mays died. Now, Billy Mays, not some beloved person that we all, like, you know, grew up watching and loving. You know, he's doing infomercials. An entertaining guy, but not some...
I liked him.
Yeah, but, you know, you weren't in your living room watching him act and you're crying over a scene or cheering for him.
Right,
or, you know, it didn't... Nothing emotional. And somebody said he didn't die at age 50. He died at 49.95.
Okay, that you actually is pretty funny.
That's a damn good line. And then, but from then on, everything like that was the best. That was the perfect level of fame. I really got mad at this girl on Facebook once because she had the guy from Crisscross had died, and she said,
"Didn't
no
even
one.
Know that, by the way."
Right? She's a comedian. She goes, "No one better make jokes about him like he's some revered, like it's Michael Jackson or something." Literally 2 weeks earlier, she made a joke about some kid that got killed. The rifle went off and shot him. And he's like some 8-year-old. She's making fun of this poor white trash. You redneck deserved it. But now 2 weeks later, you can't make a joke about Crisscross.
Well, I'm not somebody who says it's okay to make fun of Crisscross and it's not okay to make fun of Robin Williams based on how beloved they were by society. However, I'm definitely not somebody who will be offended. Seriously, right. If I read one of those jokes, I don't get mad. I don't feel for any family or group. I don't. That's sad, but I don't. But I do think it's hack.
Yeah. Well, you can't, like, I'm like, I can't get offended by if Prince dies and somebody makes a joke because I love Prince, and then not get offended when Adam Levine dies or something.
Right.
Who I don't really care much about. Although I actually do like him. But just another musician who, if Lady Gaga dies. Yeah, I can't be okay without a joke, but then not okay because I have this affinity towards another person.
If somebody on The Voice had to die, who would it be? Who would you pick?
Oh, are we counting Carson Daly? Are we?
Okay, no, because that's clearly it would be Carson Daly.
Are we
but
counting
if
the
any
full?
Of the judges? And also, it can be judges that aren't on there anymore.
I would choose Usher because he brought us Justin Bieber. He's forced that career on us.
Oh, he was the guy who introduced Justin Bieber to the world.
Well, he's kind of pushed him, and he's helped his success. The thing about Bieber is, like, I actually sort of had this as a premise, and then David Twitty, the funny comedian, basically had the same premise and tells this joke. People would bash him for his music, and I just kind of made a joke earlier about it. But, like, I'm not his demographic, you know. It's for 13-year-old girls, so
well, you know,
who cares
it's funny.
If I don't like
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's weird because I've actually had a joke similar to that about Barney. Remember how adults would be so violent about how much they hated Barney?
Right.
I'm like, well, yeah, you're not learning the alphabet, Dick. That's why you hate him. I mean, I right. understand that. You know all the days of the week. If you liked it, that would be worth mentioning. If you thought it was amazing and awesome to watch.
That would be the weird part. Well, now the thing is about Bieber, though, you keep hearing stories. He actually is a dick. I mean, he's making comments about hooking up with other people's girlfriends. Orlando Bloom punched him in the face. The whole restaurant cheered. So now you can dislike him for his personality and not because of his justice.
I definitely would have thought that in a fight between Orlando Bloom and Justin Bieber, I mean, there'd be no winner. They couldn't physically hurt one another, right?
Well, we had the conversation, the best celebrity sex tape. What would be the funniest celebrity fight to see?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's me and the Neanderthal in me or the barbarian, but I would like to see like Ving Rhames versus, you know what I mean? I'd want to see two people.
You
want to
see a good fight.
Oh, yeah, like Wesley Snipes and Ving Rhames just to throw it. Actually, they were in a movie where they fought each other in prison.
So you want to see like Vin Diesel versus
The Rock
Jason
or whatever.
Statham or something.
Yeah, I think The Rock would probably destroy those guys. But yeah that's I want to see like people, two giants just going at it.
I want to see Seth Green versus the Jim Parsons from the Big Bang Theory, the gay guy.
Yeah, I don't. I actually think Seth Green wins that pretty easily.
I don't know. Are you a feisty gay? Come on. Would you want to scrap Robert Andrew, our favorite?
No, I wouldn't want to scrap Robert Andrew. But Jim Parsons is tall. I don't know if that makes
lanky.
Him big, but yeah.
So you're taking Seth Green over Parsons in a fight?
Yeah, I am. He seems a little more street.
Okay. That's just his acting ability. Height. Jim Parsons' height.
Yeah, he is like 6'1".
Is a good height for an actor.
Seth Green is like 5'8".
Right. He's 5'4". You're taking 5'4" over 6'1".
All right. Can I renege? Can I go back?
It's too late.
All right, then I guess I got Green. If they are ever out at the Viper Room and it goes down, I got Green.
Robbie, get a hold of Brian McDaniel and have him orchestrate this TMZ fight for charity. Can you make that happen?
Yeah, of course.
Or also just get Seth Green or Jim Parsons on the show and give their opinion. That's
somebody
your
in chat says, I would like to see Bill Murray kill himself. That's what someone says. I believe it's show announcer Tim. Why? I mean, I don't even get the Bill Murray's the best. Are you kidding me? Is he?
Yeah,
he like
I don't get that. I literally don't want to see anyone kill themselves except for like Jerry Sandusky or somebody like that. I don't.
Well, I obviously don't think that the joke was that he wanted him to kill himself. I thought his joke was that he didn't think Bill Murray was funny, but now he's backing off of that.
Okay. All right. I saw someone in chat earlier. It said that. Let me log in. I'm late getting here. They had the GoFundMe bit fail. We've raised $0 for Christopher Steeble's GoFundMe. That's hilarious.
The bid is not a fail. The GoFundMe is, in fact, a fail. That's true.
The fact that didn't work makes it hilarious.
Yes,
Tawana just texted me. She said she used to have a crush on Seth Green.
That if she met him, she might feel. He's so tiny. You know, 5'4", show music expert. Scott right. Apple, show lawyer, show attorney. Is 5'5", and he is tiny.
Well, we're gonna have we're having his sister on next week, right, Robbie?
Allegedly, I've emailed her to confirm.
Okay. Well, just to catch everybody up, Scott Apple is, of course, Joe's friend that he works with. He's the guy that was a virgin into his 30s, allegedly. A lot of awkward sex stuff. Quirky guy. His mom thought he was gay, and of course, he's famous for the music quiz in which he thinks that Prince is Tom Petty, basically. And his sister is a sex therapist, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, then we have to ask her the questions, some of the things that's happened to him, and see if she's ever heard this before. We have to do that, right?
Like what? Like the 2-hour? Oh, I was supposed to not reveal who that was.
No. The thing about to me, his most famous sexploit, if you will, is making out with the girlfriend. She's topless. His armpit touches her breast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then he licks her breasts, which gets his armpit
and it tastes
deodorant
like
on his tongue, in his mouth. Then he kisses her. She tastes it, and then there's an issue.
That wasn't Scott Apple. That was Steve Cherry, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was Steve Cherry, not Scott Apple. Two completely different people.
How could you mistake the two?
I don't know.
Well, so we just ask her some of the things that he has had mentioned before.
Hey, chat wants to know, I think this is a good question. Chat wants to know if he's still with that same girl.
He is, not only is he with her, it is very, very serious.
Oh, would we be invited to the wedding?
Clearly I would be invited to the wedding.
Can I be your plus one?
I'm pretty sure, I don't see you being invited. Have you ever actually met Scott Apple in person, Rob?
No, I mean, but Tawanda loves him. That should help, right? Clearly, I mean, she likes short guys after this Seth Green thing.
I would put it below 50-50.
But if we meet, I will get invited to the wedding. Provided it's a wedding where he has people. If it's just friends, if it's just close, you know, family or something, that's different. But if it's a wedding where they're actually inviting friends, or the reception at least.
Yeah, how many friends
could he have?
That's one of the factors, right? She has a bunch of friends, and yeah, he's got a pretty big family though. But yeah, if it's intimate, you wouldn't be invited, but neither would I. I mean, if I have a plus one, I have to take Katie. He's met Katie a ton of times.
I understand.
I gave him the pictures for his profile. You think I merit an invite?
You probably merit an invite.
Wait a minute. Robbie and I got him together with this girl. We did the profile. We teamed up. We're responsible for this.
What does that mean? Do you think that you're going to get invited over me?
Yeah, I would think that, what's the best thing that's ever happened to him? This woman. Before this woman, he had no prospects. He had nothing going on in his life. Now he's getting married to a successful woman, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously.
That's a big deal, and Robbie and I made that happen.
If you, again, you're making it like I don't agree with you. Okay. I mean, again, ultimately the decision won't be mine. If there's 100 people, if it's a 100-person guest list and you can only invite 50 people, I mean, I don't know. That's, where do you fall? 48, 53, you see what I'm saying?
I don't know. If somebody gets you a job and you have a party to celebrate your new job, do you invite that person?
Yeah.
Okay. Robbie, I'm right here. We should be invited, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we definitely should be invited.
Well, we're showing up either way.
See Scott, yes, when I see him tomorrow, I'll ask. I'll say, hey, when and if you get married, would you be inviting the two Robs? I'll ask.
And
if he says no, are you going to lobby or are you going to be pissed?
Oh, I'm lobbying. First of all, you need to make this happen. I'm going to the Potomac Grill in Rockville, which is where he lives. It's a nice restaurant. I do comedy there occasionally. There's going to be a show September 5th. I'm trying to get you out, Joe, if you don't bail. I want Scott Apple to be there with his lovely girlfriend. Tawanda will be there. It's a nice restaurant, good food, good drinks, good comedy. So then we'll hang out then. So make that happen, and then I'll do the rest. Deal?
All right, I'll do my best, although I just had a show, you're not going to believe it, at the Bethesda Hyatt this past Saturday. Wow. No, definitely a no-show by Scott Apple, who was invited.
It's possible he just doesn't find you funny. You get that, right? Maybe he's tired of your closer.
He's never heard my closer.
Trust me, he's tired of it.
He's heard it. I'm just kidding. Of course he's heard it. Are you kidding me? Every time before I leave work, I say it.
Well, we have to ask his sister questions, though, not just about Scott or Steve Cherry. I think we need to make it personal. We need to ask questions about ourselves, too, and to really open up to this woman.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Endear ourselves to her is what you're saying.
Well, no, I think that, like, you like the tying up the women. You got the canopy bed. And Katie has been hesitant.
When you say open up, you mean be very candid, is what you're saying. Look,
I want to be able to tie my girlfriend up. She doesn't want to. How do I make that happen? That's a good question.
Well, I don't think that's a question she's going to be able to answer.
Why not?
Well, I mean, because I know everybody knows the answer. You make them as comfortable as possible with it, and then if they don't want to do it, you don't force them. Isn't that what better answer could you be?
Joe, she's a sex therapist. I'm pretty sure she has a better way of
talking women into doing these perverted things. She's the one who helps once both parties are willing. You think she knows about how to talk women into having sex with you?
How to talk people into being more adventuresome in the bedroom. I'm sure that's something that comes up.
All right. We'll see what she has to say.
Okay. I mean, Robbie has no questions because he's the world's greatest lover.
Yes, he just uses what God gave him.
Hey, Robbie, do you have that? Is it possible to play any of that Chris Restivo sound effects YouTube clip?
You know it doesn't work when I play stuff off YouTube.
It doesn't matter because I posted it on Facebook and on Twitter. Or go to official Chris Restivo. But this is a little challenge I have for you, and hopefully your game. And Joe, I want you to get in on this and make this happen. Chris has a six-minute YouTube clip of him doing sound effects impressions. It's probably 20 to 25. And it's just he puts the text like dog barking, and he does it.
You get to see him too, though. You get to watch him do it.
You get to see him. You get to see how he does it. It's amazing.
His technique.
Helicopter sound, keyboard sound, no tennis ball because that gets its own clip, but it's worth a watch.
Hey, how's it going?
Robbie, when you are making sweet love to your woman, I want you to have a mix of music like you normally do. I want you to start off with normal songs like you would normally play. Maybe 10 minutes or so in of, say, you're going to do at least a half hour, that YouTube clip starts playing. How long will it go on before she says something or stops you?
1 second.
The first sound he makes is the sound of a keyboard. Why would that throw her off so much?
Music?
He never talks, so it's not his voice.
Yeah, immediately. What the hell is this?
Well, you just said someone's in the other room using a typewriter. What's the problem?
Using the typewriter. Hey, is Katie in chat, Joe?
She is. She's oh captain, my captain.
Damn it, because you were going to do that with Katie.
What's that?
The same challenge.
She just put in chat, I'm not allowed to talk about anything that we do with Ashley Apple. So I'll have to talk about if I were in a relationship, where this happened. You know,
gotcha.
I'll have to do it like that.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Of course, this past week was the finals of the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Next stand-up star. It happened. Robbie judged. I judged. Joe emceed. We have a winner. Gramps was there. We'll tell you all about it when we come back.
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them.
Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer.
Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in RobinJoe. That's Stamps.com. Promo code RobinJoe.
The Robin Joe Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Before we get to the Comedy Factory, we've been doing this running little bet on naming the show. My challenge that I can beat Robbie and come up with a better name. Of course, last week, very controversial. Robbie named it A Star Is Born, Bjorn, as in Bjorn Borg. Very clever. Joe and I, and Joe's he decides, says that he agreed with me that it was too clever and that my title, Rest of Us, was going to win. And Robbie, of course, got mad and decided this week, rather than play the game, he just decided to cop out. Name the episode, Rob.
I don't agree that
yourself.
It's a cop out. I don't agree it's a cop out.
I think it's a cop out.
I don't.
I think he was angry that he didn't win. He felt robbed. And he says, you know, if it's not going to be fair, then I'm not going to fucking play.
Okay. Well, he'll be able to tell you what he thought. But here's the thing. Like, I remember during the show, I'm like, well, you, as the show's going on, you're taking the titles. You follow what I'm saying? Which is clearly not fair.
You're
and
right.
Then I also, here's the thing. I went against my instinct. I'm so mad at myself because A Star Is Bjorn, I knew was a better title. But when Katie told me that she didn't understand it and then Phil said they didn't understand it, I was like, well, I must be wrong. And I went against my own instincts and I said that his was better because people don't understand. And then out of the woodwork, everybody on Facebook's like, well, I get it. It's perfectly clear. It's Bjorn Borg. And then I'm like, well, you know, I kind of robbed him where he deserved a victory. And then this week, I saw that, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty hilarious. But you think it's a cop-out, and I actually think that it's funnier title in the vein of what you say, hey, make it simpler. But, of course, you're now going to say that it's because he's mad. Are you mad, Robbie, or is that something that you thought would be funny?
You know, I agree with you. I was annoyed that he didn't even give me an opportunity.
So Rob is right. Yes. We're bad.
No. He didn't give me an opportunity to pick a title, so that's what he left me with. But I don't think it was a cop-out. I think that was the funniest title I could come up with under the circumstances.
All right.
It is fair that I didn't give you a chance, but...
Well, you were right, though. He is clearly mad. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he's mad. Well, once J.L. Covan said he got it, and we respect him, he's funny and hilarious and smart. Funny and hilarious? Whatever. I guess, look, if you want to rescind, you can go back, Joe, and give it to him.
I can?
You can. I mean, we're just making... This is just to have a funny
Because I would have him winning both weeks, depending on what you say.
You haven't heard mine yet this
week. I was just going to say, depending... So you could literally lose 2 weeks if you're letting me go back.
I'm letting you do whatever you want to do.
I got news for you. The bit's not that funny, Rob.
Okay. All right. Listen, don't crap on our own show. All right. If we're going to do this, let's not do this on the air.
Really? First of all, no. If you don't think it's that funny, then we argue about it. That then makes it funny to you, or compelling at least.
What's that? Not if he's really mad. I don't want to do it.
He loves that.
No. He doesn't like it. He likes it when it's real, unless he's actually mad, then he doesn't like it. If you and I are really fighting, are you mad? Then he likes that.
He's not mad about that we're doing the bit. Maybe he is. I don't know. Well, anyway, thanks for derailing this.
Who, me?
No.
You're welcome.
What did I do?
How about that? No, Robbie.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, go fuck yourself. That's my title. Robbie, go fuck yourself
harder.
Hey, that's
the same title.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a draw.
I listed several things. Skype with an Eye, President Tennis Ball, Not Teen Wolf, Right-Handed Amateur. All good titles. Yes, I stole them. That's not playing fair. Point. I give you that. But you said you had a line late in the show, Joe, that was
really funny. You know how to push my buttons.
No, it was really funny, and I laughed at the time, but I didn't pursue it or go deeper into it. But it was a great line, and it would be a great title of the show because it would pique people's interest in what we were referring to. And you were talking about Marcus Serta, our buddy from the AmeriCast, who said that you had red hair. And you said that's the worst thing you can call someone, which is a hilarious line. That's the worst thing in the world you can call someone is a redhead. I think a great title of the episode is the worst thing you can call someone. Because then everyone's wondering, what is it? And then when they hear that line, it's going to get a bigger laugh.
And then people are as upset that I said that who have red hair as Robbie is about the bit in general. Okay, I got what you're saying.
So that's a title that makes people think, what is the worst thing? And now I want to hear. And then they hear it, and then something stupid like that, and they laugh. So that would have been my title, the worst thing you can call someone.
Okay,
so
you win this week, Rob.
This is what I would say. Robbie doesn't get to say who wins. I'm the one judging it. This is what I think. First of all, I'm rescinding last week, and I'm going to switch Robbie to being the winner. Now, I would have made Robbie the winner this week, but now I found it's really coming from an angry place. So I would say right now we're 1-1.
Fair enough.
Now, I don't know if the bit's going to live another week now that it's been shat upon publicly, but at least now that's where we stand.
Well, Joe, what do you think? Do you think this is a funny little bit that's going well?
I think that... Here's the deal. There's only one person that I care if they're mad on this show. Not me, and it ain't you. So if Robbie doesn't like the bit,
okay, this is going to end. This is going to end with me saying, Robbie, you are awesome at naming the show. It's not about me taking that over. It's just a funny little game.
Well, I don't know if it's funny. I'll let you know after we're not on the air anymore. Then I'll tell you if it's fun.
Okay.
You follow me, right? I'll let you know if it's fun or not. Hey, remember the Grant a Wish Foundation? That ended up not being fun. You follow what I'm saying? That wasn't quite as fun as I thought that it was going to be.
I think that'll one day we'll look back at that as really fun. That's my wish. The Comedy Factory.
Did we ever get to the bottom of that? No, I'm just kidding.
Joe, go fuck yourself. The contest ran for several months. People know who are listening, that's how Restivo kind of came upon us. And it got down to the finals. I believe there was 10, 11 comics this past Thursday night. Joe, you emceed. I was a judge. Robbie was a judge. And fellow comedian Jim Meyer was a judge. Gramp showed up. And we'll go over it all. But first of all, congratulations to one Tommy Sinbaz.
Yeah, good job, Tommy.
very happy that he won. I felt like of all the people in the contest, he probably had the most credentials, if you will. And he had a great set. So it all worked out. But it was, I don't want to sound too much, come off like the fashion police when I talk about this. But I feel like that's what's going to happen here. A few things struck me. Number one, you were wearing jeans, plaid shirt, basically the same outfit I'm wearing. Robbie even took a picture. And then your shoes you're wearing, Joe, as the host of the show on a stage where you're above people, flip-flops.
Yeah, is that bad?
I think it's bad. I think you should only wear flip-flops as a guy if you're around sand.
Yeah, so, well, I don't agree with that. I do agree that it's not stage wear. Here's the problem. I have two pair of brown shoes. They're beat to hell. I can't wear them anymore.
Right.
I then have black shoes that I wear to work. I have my sandals and I have tennis shoes. And then I have these shoes. Remember the shoes that I bought that had the guy with one leg was wearing?
Yes.
None of them look good with jeans except for the flip-flops.
How could brown shoes not look good with jeans?
They're beat to hell. They look so bad, the shoes, not necessarily.
Gotcha. Not the color.
So that's the only thing that I, and again, when I walk out the door, I'm like, all right, do I want to look appropriate or do I want to look good? And I want to look good. And I think those look good with jeans, so that's why I wore them. Now I need new brown shoes. That's the next step. But I will always, always look better than look appropriate. That's never going to change. If I think I look good in a tux, I'll wear it to your house to watch football. You follow? That's what I'm going to do.
Can I jump in on this?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting choice because you don't see it that often with comedians on stage. So I asked my girlfriend, who's very fashion conscious, and I said, what do you think of my brother wearing sandals on stage? His feet are showing. He's wearing open-toed shoes. She goes, it's not that bad.
Oh, thank you.
Well, she's just happy. Oh, she's used to people being barefoot. She's Asian, so you know, that's the closest thing to barefoot is flip-flops.
But speaking of fashion, I knew Tommy Cimbazzo was super funny because I was so distracted by his wallet at the beginning. But he was so funny that I forgot about it.
Did it over.
You're talking about
over.
The thing strapped to his
giant
side?
Thing on the side of his
that
head.
Is a joke book. He literally has a holster.
Oh, really?
For a notebook for him to, like, and he's dressed. He has a look. Yeah, he, by the way, he makes that stuff. Like that leather armor or whatever that is. I mean, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm proud of myself. All right. You want to pat me on the back? Too bad. I'm going to pat myself.
Well, I might have if you'd let me get to.
Happened exactly as it was supposed to. The funniest person won. It was crowded. Mm-hmm. Not only did the funniest person win, he also had the best set.
Yes.
So everything ended up working out, and I was really, really happy. Especially, you know, I got a lot of crap. I probably lost a friend over this contest. So,
who'd you lose?
Oh, well, I didn't tell the story on the air, but two of the contest weeks were I think I did tell them two were canceled. One, there just was nobody there. I'm sorry, one was canceled because there was nobody there. And then another one, there were 17 people there, and we still had it. Now every other one was pretty successful. But I was, you know, people, the comics that were committing to being in the contest weren't supporting it. Mm-hmm. Well, a friend of the show, Dan Charnley, came in and he just started crapping on the contest. And it was funny and it was funny and it was funny, but he's in the club. And by the way, I run it. And he's saying it's a sham and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just all, and it started to bug me. But I let him go because, look, I mean, I'm a comic. Is this what we're doing? Are we just making fun of each other? But then it never stopped. And eventually I was like, well, wait a minute. He means this. And I run this. And all of a sudden he's questioning my integrity. And it got super, super ugly. And the thing that bothered me the most is that, and forget all the personal stuff, right? That did bother me because I always felt like I looked out for him. But it doesn't matter. But the thing that bothered me the most is that if there is no contest at the Comedy Factory on a Thursday night, there aren't two paid spots for comics in Baltimore that night, or two extra spots.
Right.
At a comedy club. And I said, look, and the night that Dan was there was the night that we canceled the show because there wasn't enough people. I said, well, is this better? I mean, is it? I mean, I understand that you think that it's a, what's, it's a shill or whatever the heck it is. Sham, yes, I mean, scam, it is a contest hoax. Second.
Yeah.
It's a contest second. It is. The first job of this contest is to fill the room. It's to fill the room on a non-revenue generating night. That's the job. And we were able to do that. I think we had, I don't want to exaggerate, I think including the finals, we had 11 weeks of the contest. We actually had 12. One was canceled. So we were actually able to do that 10 out of 12 weeks. We were able to get an audience. We were able to have a show. And we were able to get people paid to do comedy. And in that contest, prior to winning it, Tommy got work there because of his performance there.
Yeah, the guy who won last year when you were a judge with Mike Finazzo is a guy that probably had never had a paid gig, and then he won the contest. Where here we have a seasoned comic. Tommy's also the guy, going back a couple of years on the show, I said I could never follow. I always had bad sets after I followed him. But, you know, so you're wearing flip-flops. I want to get back to that. And this is the one thing. I really want to get back to flip-flops. Is that you do your you always do this thing where you'll talk to some girl in the crowd about, you know, she's single, and then you'll make fun of her while she's single, and then, you know, you'll be mean but funny. But if I'm her, I'm like, dude, you're wearing flip-flops. Like I'm that's my comeback.
Like, yeah, you're talking to me. Again, I'm not trying to, I don't know how this is going to sound, but if
I know you're defensive over your flip-flops.
No, I'm not defensive. It wouldn't even buy, if I said I'm wearing flip-flops, I'm like, all right, well, you know, I look good. I mean, is that I'm not insecure that I'm wearing the flip-flops. It doesn't bother me. A couple comics made jokes about it. I laughed. I liked it. I'm fine. I'm totally comfortable with it.
The other thing is the guy that brought all the people. He went on, I think maybe it was last.
Steve Borsa.
Yeah. He was wearing a Baltimore Ravens Ray Rice jersey. Now, first of all, I don't get wearing a jersey unless you're at the game or you're watching the game somewhere. I just don't get wearing a football or any sports jersey unless that event is happening. Either you're watching it in a bar or your house or at the actual stadium. But whatever. But the real thing is that Ray Rice, if you don't know, just got in trouble and suspended because he punched his then fiance, now wife, and he knocked her out.
Yeah, it's not alleged. He literally drug her out of a hotel elevator unconscious.
That yeah, and this happened. Is a contest where the crowd is judging and the judges are. Well, what if there's a woman judge? What if there's just a guy who's just wants to make a stand and think, no, fuck you. I'm not going to support that guy.
That really didn't apply to this guy.
It didn't, but it just, if I'm him, I'm thinking, like, do I want to go up there and wear a, I voted for Obama t-shirt?
I wonder if...
I might piss off Republicans, or if I'm not going to wear a Steelers jersey in Baltimore.
I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is a sad statement, but I think people are Ravens fans first. I really do. I also think people like redemption stories. They do. Are you genuinely sorry? We don't care. Not we don't care that you're sorry. Once you say I'm genuinely sorry, if people believe you, they'll forgive you for almost anything. You can't touch kids, but everything else you can do. And if they're now, obviously, outside of Baltimore, people are going to be throwing that in the city of Baltimore's face probably. I mean, they're still talking about Ray Lewis, 15 years later. About what happened in Atlanta. They're still talking about that. So obviously, this Ray Rice thing is going to be brought up 100 other times. But in this city, it doesn't, it's
what
it's
if fine he wore a Michael Vick jersey?
I think if you wore that in Southern Virginia, that'd be the best place to wear it.
But I think here, in that contest.
Do you think people would care? I don't think they would. I know there's a few people that care.
Right.
Like, I know Lori from 98 Rock, she thinks he's the worst person alive. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but she literally thinks he's the worst human alive.
I mean, it didn't matter. That guy ended up, he won all the crowd votes. He didn't win the contest, but he had a great set. I mean, he was funny. He did a good job. He should be proud of himself. But the three, and I think we all had this the same. We all had Tommy, Robert Andrew, who's been on the show, and Petey Steele, who we mentioned a couple weeks ago. As the three best sets, and I feel like that the Tommy had a little bit more of a crowd reaction, and that's why I gave it to Tommy. But I feel like everyone was pretty happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, I didn't really get to listen to every set, because of where I stood, and I didn't get to see what you guys saw. You guys had Robert second.
I had Robert and Petey tied.
Yeah, I would say I thought Robert, who's always very funny, I thought he was clearly nervous, and that mattered to me. I actually thought Petey had a better set than him. I did, but that doesn't mean. I mean, I thought there was a clear top three. I thought that.
Right.
I really thought that almost everybody else was jumbled until the bottom three, and there was a clear bottom three as well, in my opinion.
Now, well, maybe we'll get
I believe
to that.
I had Robert third as well.
Okay, no, that you're probably right. That's a fair assessment. The thing that was sort of weird is that it was almost like it was casting for this, because the first guy up is he had cerebral palsy, correct?
Yes.
So he's in a wheelchair, which is bizarre because he didn't perform on the stage. He was below, in front of the stage, in the crowd. I don't know. You couldn't lift his chair. There was no ramp. I didn't get.
So here's the deal. We could have got his study because obviously this was discussed. This building is grandfathered into some sort of code. Like, it doesn't have to be.
They
like
can't hidden. Build a ramp. How hard is that?
Well, that's funny you say that. So the stairs going from the green room to the stage, if you were to put like a plank on it, it'd be so steep he wasn't comfortable going up into the thing. You follow what I'm saying? So I was like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want me to have some comics lift you up? He's like, no, no. I'll just perform in front of the stage. Well, then I drew the order, and he ended up going first. I'm like, well, this is going to be weird. But, you know, you got to be fair. You know what I mean? The order was the order. And so, you know, we went crazy and put him up. By the way, I thought he was funny.
Well, Robbie, I have a question for you, because we had three categories we were judging on. We were giving a 1 to 5 for their material, their stage presence, and the crowd reaction. And I'm thinking, what do I give for stage presence? Because he's not on the stage.
He's not moving. Yeah, clearly the stage presence had to be, even if you know what stage presence means, but still, he's sitting there in a chair. I mean, he's not really commanding the stage regardless.
But I knew he could have gotten up there. I know it's possible.
Yes.
So what did you give him on a 1 to 5 for that, Robbie?
I don't remember, but I remember thinking that was one of the best things, because it didn't matter that he wasn't on the stage. He was pretty confident about his material.
Yeah, well, I gave him a 5 because I figured he's still alive. I mean.
You gave him a 5 for stage presence.
I did. What am I going to do? How can I – look, he's performing comedy with this, handicap, and, you know, he did it. Good, and he had some funny jokes. What am I going to do? Grade him honestly? No, I didn't think that he gesticulated well. I mean, what?
Why
didn't
you just make him the winner?
It's either a 0 or a 5.
Why didn't you just make him the winner?
I did. I thought that was Tommy. I got them confused.
Predictably, yeah. You scored much easier than me, Rob.
Yeah, no, I saw your scorecard. Well, that's fine. It doesn't matter. As long as we all had the same winner.
Right.
But then the next guy.
You got the right person. That's what I like.
Then the next guy is a kid who's like 13 years old. Who you said his name wrong, and he kind of took a shot at you, which was funny.
Well, here's what's funny. His name is, I guess I can say, yeah, why wouldn't I be able to? Lytel is his last name, mm-hmm. right? And I said Lytel. Now, he got up there and he goes, well, there's not an I in it. I'm sorry, doesn't Y make the I sound and stuff? Either way, if you have a problem with how your name is pronounced and you don't have a common name, come up to me and tell me how it's pronounced. It's very simple, right? It's extremely simple. Now, this guy's dad was with him, and this guy's dad is a jerk, okay?
Wow.
He was complaining profusely the last time. He walked in the back because he couldn't get his check. He walked back past the bar, and when I said it, like, how do you say it? Like, I wanted to get it right. I looked at the dad, and I go, is it Lytel? He goes, no. All right, well, Dick, tell me what the name is. Sorry, I'm overmodulating. I can hear myself. Tell me what the name is, and I'll say his name right. You don't get to complain when your name is hard to pronounce, if you don't come to me and say, hey, here's how you pronounce it.
So there was that. Wow, you took a shot at the dad. That's awesome.
The dad was the worst. He was the worst. He was the worst the last time. He looked at me so smug this time, so entitled. You know, okay, if you want to help your kid, make yourself easy to deal with, not hard to deal with. Your kid just lost a comedy competition by coming in 7th or 8th. Don't feel entitled. You're not entitled. You have to make sure that you're helping his career by ingratiating yourself to the powers that be, the people that can help him get work. When you're running in the back, when you're complaining about the staff, when you're looking at me complaining about how the name is pronounced, when nobody said anything, when you're doing that, you're not helping your kid. You follow what I'm saying? You're not.
I didn't know he's like that. I have no experience with this guy. So he's one of these like stage parents, you know, that you hear about.
That's right. Apparently that's the guy who helps write the material. And the mom is the one who, I guess, helps him get gigs. And the mom was super nice. They're not together anymore, ironically, right? Or not coincidentally, or not shock, not surprisingly. No,
they're separated, or they just weren't at the show?
No, they're separated.
Well, that's some humor right there. You should have 10 new minutes.
Yeah, well, I'd say, yeah, well, my dad runs in the back of the restaurant that we go to and tries to find the manager instead of asking his waitress to see them. You know, that's right. Not necessarily funny, but whatever.
Since I started comedy, I've lost a contest and a mom. So it's a good opening line. All right. So that guy's second. So we've got the guy in the wheelchair with cerebral palsy. Then we got the kid. Then we got the midget, our buddy Jeremy Hall, who's 4'11". I call him midget because I love him. He's our hookup with Brian McDaniel. He's that guy's buddy. He's a funny guy. I like him. He had a very Mickey Coachella kind of an outfit. He had like the sport coat and the T-shirt. It was
the rock and roll T-shirt. Yeah. By the way, that's the same thing the cerebral palsy guy was wearing, but you couldn't tell. He had a Ramones shirt on and a sports coat.
What a waste. All right.
by the way, that guy had a girlfriend.
What? Why didn't he talk about that? All he talked about is how he couldn't get laid. And everyone was like, we're sorry, dude. But like.
And I was thinking when he has like one of those little things where you push forward on the wheelchair and it makes you go forward.
Right. Because Chris Stiva does a sound effect of that.
I'm sure he can. But I'm thinking is that how he has sex? Like he just moves that throttle back and forth and wheels up to her or whatever.
Maybe he hooked up with Lytle's mom. That's what happened.
It's not Lytle, you jerk. Say it right.
So then, all right. So now we've got the wheelchair, the kid, the midget. Then we got the chick who's been on stage for 2 months that we've talked about on this show, who probably didn't place. And so you were casting. It was like some reality show. And then, of course, Tommy came up, and he's sort of the wacky dressed with the leather and the jewelry and stuff. And then you have Robert Andrew, the gay guy, and then you had the black guy. You literally had everybody feature there, Joe.
Yeah, so
good job.
The real world of comedy contest. My favorite line of the night, you got to hand it to the girl. Her name was Tiffany something. I don't remember her last name. I thought she was clearly the worst, right?
Yeah, the black girl.
And she was up there and she was bombing. So she's like, I'm out of here. She ended up doing 2.5 minutes, which is perfect.
I gave her higher scores because of that.
I agree. That was a great thing for her to do. I felt like giving her just, hey, you know what, Tommy, kick her $10 because that was the right thing to do. But she had this horrible line and it made me laugh so bad. Because usually you write your material before you go on stage.
Right.
And I have no idea what her joke was about. But she was clearly talking to a guy who she was angry with in her joke. And she goes, look, I'm here to fuck. I'm not here to. And she took about a 3-second pause and she goes, you know, write an essay. And that made me laugh so much because obviously she was thinking, well, what's hard and difficult and boring to do? And it took her brain about 3 seconds to think, well, I don't like writing essays. And then she threw that in, which, of course, is hilarious because, yes, obviously, having sex is clearly better than writing an essay. It's one of the. I mean, writing an essay is horrible. She's absolutely right about that.
Unless you're having sex.
Thought about
that
beforehand.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I guess we're pretty much done, right, Robbie?
Yep.
Hey, everybody. I will be at my two favorite clubs in the world the next 2 weeks. This week, August 14th through 17th, for everyone here local in D.C. Baltimore area, I'm at the D.C. Improv. With Drew Landry, you local guys, I'm seeing, and then Eric Griffin, your headliner, who Joe has worked with. It's Thursday to Sunday, dcimprov.com. That's 6 shows total. So come by and see me. And then the following week, I'll be at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone, and we'll be talking more about that next week. And gearing up for the sex questions with Scott Apple Sister next week. Looking forward to that. Joe, what do you have coming up?
I'm at Myth and Moonshine this Tuesday.
Right. With people that want to work with you. That's so funny.
That's right. Dave Schofer, I tried to get friend Todd Leatherberry on the show, which I was able to do.
Right.
And he goes, well, it's kind of full. I go, well, just bump somebody. Nobody cares. I'll just go on another week. He goes, no. I got 50 emails, people wanting to work with you. Really? Because when I saw the names of the people on the show, I didn't know like 6 of them. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Why would anyone want to work with you? There's a chance that you're going to insult their comedy or their parent.
I can't believe somebody would want to work with me. But I'm going to be there. I can't remember if I have shows this weekend. Robbie might know. But not next week, but the following week, I'm filling in for a vacationing Justin Schlegel. This awesome. Past week, I filled in for a vacationing Scott Reardon. So it's all coming to pass, meaning the firing from 98 Rock is in the offing.
It's good to see Eric the actor and Chris Restivo having a conversation on Twitter. Eric asks him if you've gotten your headlining gig from the DC Improv yet, that we could hook that up. He says he has
headlining.
Yes. last thing, you know, our friend, Amy, who doesn't identify with a he or she, you know who I'm referring to, right?
I know exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
Well, Amy was excited that Chris Restivo had friended her on Facebook. They started chatting, which Amy is prone to do. And then Amy started chatting with me immediately that Amy told Chris that Amy doesn't identify with sex, and that, in Amy's words, Chris is really mean and that he ran off and I scared him away.
Well, she said that he hurt her feelings.
Amy said that. Amy said that.
Yeah. I said her. Amy said that Chris hurt Amy's feelings. That's what Amy said. Sorry. It's hard to not say pronouns. I'll do my best.
It's hard.
And what I said, what I would say to anybody whose feelings were hurt by Chris Restivo, I say, who cares what Chris Restivo thinks? That would not affect me. Chris Restivo is welcome to think whatever he wants about me.
I care greatly what he thinks. that's the show. We'll see you next week. Hey, we're going to talk 30 minutes about naming the show just to piss off both Rob and, what are your names? Robbie and Joe. That's it. DCImprov.com. Check me out. Later.
Later.
The preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.